So we are recording the meeting now, and thank you very much, Mariana, for that introduction. I'm going to put up our agenda so that we all have a sense of where we're heading today. In a moment, we'd like to just have the SHAC members and those staff members from member agencies introduce themselves, particularly so the members of the public know who the Stakeholder Advisory Committee members are, as well as the Management Committee members from the three member agencies, which are Butte County, the City of Chico, and Durham Irrigation District. So I'll ask you to do that in just a moment, but like to give you a quick overview of the agenda. We will, after introductions, take any public comment for items that pertain to the stakeholder, the VINA Stakeholder Advisory Committee, but aren't on the agenda today. While we are not able to take any action on those items, we do, if you have such comments that are relevant, we encourage you to bring them forward. Because we always have quite a lot on the agenda, we do ask you to try to keep your comments within 3 minutes. We'll have some verbal updates from the VINA GSA Management Committee. Just want to make sure that the communications between the VINA GSA board and the SHAC and the public remain open and consistent. So this is a standing item on the agenda. That's for informational purposes. We will, as we usually do, review the meeting notes from the prior meeting. We didn't meet in July, but the last meeting was June 16th. So we will see if SHAC members have any additional comments or corrections on those meeting notes, and we will seek the SHAC's approval. And we always do have an opportunity for public comment after each of the agenda items, and so we'll make sure to pause. Sometimes I realize that I'm sort of steamrolling through, and I'm like, whoops, forgot to ask if the public had some comments there. So do interject if I move on without giving an opportunity for public comment after any of these items. Then we have been revisiting the VINA SHAC's charter, which is the sort of rules of operation to clarify our terms of reference for this advisory committee. We've revisited it over the last couple of meetings, particularly, I think, within the context of the COVID-19 pandemic and needing to really readjust how we have these meetings. So we've made some adjustments based on the last conversation, and we'll see if the SHAC is ready to move those recommendations forward for the revisions of the charter to the VINA GSA board. We'll have a presentation from the management committee giving us an overview of the tasks and schedule for the GSP completion as we come to a close, as, or we're starting to wrap up the basin setting portion of the GSP development. And so now is time for us to sort of say, okay, what's next? And we're going to have sort of a presentation on the upcoming schedule for GSP completion that sort of takes us all the way through the state compliance deadline of January 2022. That is an informational item. We'll take a break. These online meetings can be challenging, so we want to make sure everyone has a chance to just get up, get some water, some snacks, whatever we need to do. Then we'll come back. We'll have another presentation from the VINA GSA Management Committee giving us an overview of the projects and management actions, or what we're referring to as the PMA process. And there was a document as well as a PowerPoint presentation that was posted to the website for your information. This is a component of the GSP, and the Management Committee wants to inform you and seek your input on that proposed process going forward. It is a required component of the GSP. Then we've had identifying and managing the legal implications of artificial recharge, this document and process that has been on the agenda for the last several times. Paul will give us an introduction of where we are with this process. It appears at this point in the agenda because it is related to the projects and management action. So in terms of flow and making sure that everything is in a series that makes sense, this is why it's placed here and will most likely appear on future agendas as well. And Paul will speak more about that. Under the next steps, we do always want to be able to debrief these online meetings, what this experience is like for all of you as we find ourselves needing to continue in this platform for the time being. And we'll see if we're at a point where we want to discuss any potential future meeting arrangements or if we want to just continue as is on Zoom for the time being. We'll take a look at the SHAC meeting schedule, which is on the last page of the agenda. And that schedule is still not completely filled out for GSP completion. I think in the next couple of meetings, we'll start to see it filled out through the GSP completion deadline in January 2022, but we'll take a look at that. And then we have added this item based on the SHAC's input from last time to make sure that we have an opportunity for you to make any suggestions for future agenda items. And then another new standing item, anytime we have any correspondence pertaining to the SHAC to the SHAC's work, we will provide you as an informational item with that correspondence. And that is realizing that we are under a Brown Act here, that the work of the public should be done in public. And we want to ensure that we put measures into place that keep the utmost transparency of the work that we do. Okay, we'll do our best to get through all of this in a timely way and adjourn at noon today. I'm sorry for scrolling. It can make our eyes go a little buggy. So I'd like to just come right back up and ask the SHAC members to introduce yourselves as well as the management committee. I'm just going to go down the line. Anne?
Good morning. I'm Anne Dawson, Domestic Well.
Thank you, Anne. Christopher Madden?
Christopher Madden, Butte Glen Community College District.
Thank you, Christopher. Jim?
Jim Brobeck, Environmental Community Representative.
Jim, Bruce?
Bruce Smith, Business Representative.
And Cherie?
Cherie Chastain, Chico State Representative.
Thank you, Cherie. Gary?
Gary Cole, Ag User Representative.
Gary, good morning. George?
George Barber, California Water Service.
Thank you, George. Greg?
Greg Connery, groundwater user.
Thank you very much. Samantha?
Samantha Lewis, groundwater user.
Thank you, Samantha. And then everyone knows who's on the VINA GSP Management Committee. Those members from those member agencies. Let's start with Butte County. Paul?
Paul Goslin, Butte County.
Christina?
Christina Buck, Butte County. I'm not officially on the Management Committee, but I I'm taking lead on some of the components of GSP development.
Thank you for that clarification. Christina, Kelly?
Good morning. Kelly Peterson with County.
Thanks, Kelly. And then from the City of Chico, Linda?
Linda Herman, City of Chico.
Thank you. And from Durham Irrigation District.
Kayla, sir, Durham Irrigation.
Okay, did I miss any SHAC members or management committee members? Okay, excellent. Thank you all and welcome. And thank you for being here. All right, and thank you to the members of the public for being here as well. Appreciate you taking the time. Okay, if we all could be on mute, because there's some background noise, would appreciate that. Okay, moving on to any comments that any members of the public or SHAC members have for items that are not on the agenda but relevant to the work of the Vina SHAC. Jim, I see that you're here for that.
Yes. The management committee and the Butte supervisors, I think, should petition the Department of Water Resources for a GSA deadline extension. There's been too many SHAC meetings have been canceled. Questions brought by the SHAC members concerning process and basin hydrogeological setting remain unanswered. For instance, huge interbasin flow estimate discrepancies pertinent to recharge management actions remain unresolved. The August 12th Vina GSA meeting was plagued with procedural gaffes that prevented both public and SHAC communication with the board. Other regional web-based meetings allow attendees to raise hand and be unmuted to engage with the panel participants, but the Vina GSA meeting ignored raised hands. The public was not allowed to view what other members of the public were attending the web meeting. It took prodding from board members for emailed comments to be read into the record and shared with the web audience. And numerous emailed comments were initially hidden in junk mail folders. So while staff and consultants are trying to stick to pre-COVID timeline, the public and their SHAC representatives are not allowed the time at either SHAC meetings or Vina GSA board meetings to accomplish our duty. And since our groundwater basin is not in critical overdraft, the Vina Board and the Butte Board of Supervisors should petition the California Department of Water Resources for a timeline extension to get our groundwater sustainability plan properly formed and properly vetted. Thanks for taking my comment.
Thank you, Jim. And Deborah, I see your hand. Deborah Lucero.
Hi, I was wanting to ask SHAC to consider making a recommendation to the Vina GSA board regarding the format that is being utilized for public meetings. I too attended the last Vina GSA meeting, which was just fraught with difficulties. I find that the process that's being used here much more amenable to the public. You're at least able to see who's participating. You're able to raise your hand and participate when it's appropriate. Public comments are kept to 3 minutes, depending on how many people you have to comment. I think it's a good format and would like to see the SHAC make a recommendation if the members would agree to adopt this format for the Vina GSA meetings.
Thank you for your comment, Deborah. Are there any other comments from the public or SHAC members that aren't on the agenda that you would like to raise now? Samantha?
Yes, I agree with Mr. Brobeck that a letter needs to be sent from our GSA board to both DWR as well as the governor and our legislators, that because they've been able to extend deadlines such as Real ID, that we ought to be discussing that for SGMA as well. I don't feel, because of the pandemic, that we are engaging the public like we are supposed to be with in-person meetings, as well as concerns for just the budget moving forward and being able to answer questions and having the money to pursue projects. Things need to really slow down so that we do this right and we are protecting our livelihoods.
Thank you, Samantha. Are there any other comments? Again, for items pertaining to this body, but not on the agenda today.
Okay. I will, I will back up what Samantha and Jim just said, that I also agree that it would be appropriate to ask for an extension. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. And we cannot take action on this item because it did not appear on the agenda, but that can be agendized in the future. And I know that the management committee has a report next, and I think that they will be able to address some of the issues that you raised within that report. Samantha, did you want to say something, or your hand went up and then down? Are you good for now?
Yes, I'm good. Sorry about that.
No worries. I'm going to go ahead to move on to the management committee, and thank you for those comments. Paul, did you want to get us started here?
Yeah, thank you. So I kind of share everyone's concern about the timeline. This is something that's also have us concerned too, especially with this is probably the third major emergency situation the county's been facing, which is also taking some time. So I think it'll be fair to agendize the issue of requesting the Vina GSA and Butte County requesting an extension of SGMA. And in advance of that, I'll gather some information and do some outreach to help guide what that recommendation may be. So I think that is very fitting with all the comments that were made. And I can turn it over to Linda or Cammy that there was discussions too about changes to the Vina GSA board meeting. I think we all were learning as we go through this process. No one was particularly happy or pleased on how the WebEx worked. So I think we're looking to make changes. So I don't know if Cammy or Linda want to jump in.
Sure, Paul. So yes, we heard all of the comments on the format using the WebEx. And so we will shift to the Zoom format, and we'll use this format as a model for the board as well. So hopefully we'll just kind of follow suit.
Thank you. And I'll have Christina, if you want to touch on the basin setting comment period.
Sure. Yeah. So the draft chapters are out for the basin setting chapter, which includes the hydrogeologic conceptual model, groundwater conditions section, and water budget, as well as portions of the monitoring network. And those are available on the vinagsa.org website with a 30-day comment period. So we're, I think, about 10 days into it. So the due date there is September 8th. For comments, and there's a tracking spreadsheet that we've also posted and have requested that folks kind of note their comments that way, referencing line numbers that are in the documents. You can also just keep track of your comments in whatever format works better for you if the Excel spreadsheet isn't a good format, and submit those comments to the Vina GSA Gmail that's on the website. So we look forward to input and comments on those drafts, and then we will compile those, and those will come back to the SHAC. We're targeting the next meeting, September, for your review and discussion and any recommendations that you want to make to the Vina GSA board.
Any other GSA management committee updates?
I'll open up Kelly or Linda, anything else?
Yeah, good morning. This is Kelly Peterson from Butte County. Just wanted to give you guys a quick update also that at the last GSA board meeting, which was August 12th, they also passed a new calendar for the year coming up into June of 2021. And so they'll be meeting on a more regular basis, moving from quarterly to monthly meetings. So we'll be meet a little bit more often, and because there's a lot ahead of us to do, and that's about all I have on my end.
Linda, anything from you?
No, I think you guys covered it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, Paul, anything else?
I believe that's it. Thank you.
Okay. And so let me go to, thank you, Paul. Let me go to members of the SHAC to see if you have any questions from the VINA GSA Management Committee, and then I'll go to the public. SHAC members, anything to ask the committee based on what they presented? Seeing none, any members from the public, questions for the management committee? Okay, thank you. I think it's very helpful to have those updates as a standing item on the agenda. So thanks to all of you from Durham Irrigation District, Butte County, and the City of Chico. All right, we'll go to the next item, which is the meeting notes to review and consider their approval. Consistent with our discussion at the June 16th meeting, we sent the meeting notes out to the SHAC members in advance of this meeting to see if you had any comments. I don't believe I did not receive any comments. We did not receive any comments, but that doesn't mean that there aren't any, because I also said in that communication that if you did not have time to look at them, that we could take any comments that the SHAC members may have or corrections that you may have today. So let me open it up to the SHAC to see if you have any corrections, questions pertaining to the meeting notes. And if you do, I'll go ahead and pull them up. Yes, Jim?
I'm just curious why the notes, the summaries are not called minutes like they are in most of the other meetings that I attend, especially meetings that are held under Brown Act. Is there some legal reason why these are not called minutes?
You know, there isn't, right? There is no reason we're not calling them minutes, except for we want to make it clear that these are not transcriptions, right? In order for, in our experience, we work with a lot of advisory committees around the state. In our experience, it is helpful. We have a recording which captures every detail of the meetings. We try in the meeting notes or minutes or summaries to accurately characterize what has happened in the meetings to the level of detail that the SHAC would like. And we've been talking a lot about the level of detail and looking for input about how to get it right. We want to make it as useful as possible for then that information to carry forward to the VINA GSA board. That's what we're aiming for. We can call them whatever you'd like. We just need to make sure that the level of detail is as you would like it and is useful for the purposes of the advisory committee. So
Tanya, I appreciate the level of detail. It is actually much more detailed than the minutes in other Brown Act meetings usually are, and I think that level of detail is very helpful to communicate. So thank you for all the time you're putting into the level of detail that you do, and thanks for your explanation too. Appreciate it.
And if you're more comfortable with the term minutes, you know, there really is, we can change that. It's not, there's nothing legal about whether we're calling.
No, it's no problem. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something in legal process. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Jim, and for the confirmation of the level of detail. Any other SHAC members, do you have any comments or corrections to the meeting notes? Okay, thank you very much. So I'd like to confirm the notes, hearing none.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Gary, go ahead.
Am I there now? I don't have a flag. I can't get a flag to come up, so I'm just unmuting myself.
Okay.
I may have missed the last reconstruction of the minutes or whatever we call them, but I still would like to see them in some way numbered, lettered, something so we can refer back to them easily.
I'm sorry, I'm not.
like number the agenda items, and then the meeting summaries are also numbered to correspond to those agenda items.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, if we try and talk with each other about them to try and locate something we're referring to is very difficult without such a simple thing of putting a number or a Roman numeral or something.
I see. Very good. And thank you, Christina, for that. We'll go ahead and institute that, Gary. That's a very good suggestion. Okay, so I'm not hearing any substantive comments or corrections to the meeting notes. And so I just want to confirm them with SHAC members. SHAC members, please go ahead and open up your participant box so you can find your nonverbal cues, which is you know, the yes and no are next to your raise hand function. And I just like to see all the SHAC members confirm that you approve the meeting notes. All right. Thank you very much for those who I'm just giving a little bit of time so that folks can find their nonverbal cues. Anne, let me just check in with you verbally since I don't. Okay, you got it. Thank you, Anne and Gary. Great. And any other members of the SHAC? It looks like everybody has given us a yes check. So we will go ahead and confirm those as final. And then those meeting notes are used by the management committee to create their staff reports to the VINA GSA board. And of course, they will be posted as final on the VINA GSA website, as well as the recording. And I think the SHAC members who pointed out that the June meetings recording somehow failed to post to the website. They're very large files. And so that was, thank you very much for helping us with that. And we did get them back up there. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and clear all of those nonverbal cues and move on to our, before I move on, does the public have any questions or comments or clarifications related to those meeting notes if you had an opportunity to read them? Seeing none, I'll carry on to our next item. Okay, so we, as I said at the beginning of the meeting, we've been looking at the charter over the last couple of few meetings, realizing, I think, when we came onto our first Zoom meeting, realized that, whoa, this is really different. What does this all mean? What does it mean for the process? What does it mean for the development of the plan? And given the comments at the beginning of today's meeting, we know that a lot of those questions still remain, but we wondered, you know, is there a way for us to revisit the process here within the charter to make refinements, not only because of the pandemic, but just in general. And so I'm going to go ahead and share with you what we had a pretty lengthy conversation last time. And you'll remember, SHAC members, that I, what we did at CBI was we created these sort of boxes with embedded questions embedded within the charter that were highlighted that made ask you some questions about whether you wanted to change the charter and also suggested some potential language for your consideration. And the changes that we've made to the charter are an attempt to reflect what we heard at the last meeting. And some of those embedded questions, you know, we had a good discussion. They led us to making some changes, but the SHAC didn't feel that it was necessary to actually sort of document those changes in language in the charter. And there were things like the process, you know, adding numbers to the agenda, standing items on the agenda, things like that. And we've instituted those today. But there were two areas where you felt like a modification was warranted. And so I've left them in red line here so that we can easily look at them. And we worked this language a little bit last time, and so want to check in with you to make sure that this is what you want to go forward. So under the first one, on page one at the bottom, under the open process, Brown Act open process, we wanted to institute some language that we workshopped a little last time to account for the extenuating circumstances such as those that we find ourselves under now. And this is the language that we have included. And I'll just read them for clarification, particularly for those of you who find yourselves on the phone and not able to see the screen. So we added this provision here that states, under extenuating circumstances that may preclude the shack from holding in-person meetings, the shack may consider offering a video conferencing option. However, all attempts will be made to hold in-person meetings, particularly when substantive discussion and formal recommendations are being considered by the shack. Any comments or questions from the shack? Suggested changes to this language. We did workshop it quite a bit last time, but want to make sure that we're getting it right. Okay, can I ask the SHAC members again to open your participant tab and go to your nonverbal cues and give me a yes if you support this language. Okay, go ahead and do that. And I see Samantha, your hand is up.
Yes, I guess this is the time to bring it up since we're in the section about adopting the Brown Act as the model that we're following. I know that you just told a supervisor that we couldn't act on an item because it wasn't on the agenda. And if we're going to adopt that process, then I think that the attempt for consensus is going to be very difficult, because how do we get things on the agenda if it comes out that we'd like to talk about it, but then when requested, it doesn't end up on the agenda? I guess I'm not making myself very clear. I would like that we go back to a traditional model where we have a chair, a vice chair, we have a quorum, we keep accurate minutes, and we have a vote that is tallied.
Okay, thank you, Samantha. I suppose because we've had quite a bit of conversation about this, I suppose that would need to be addressed by the VINA GSA board, because I don't know, I'm gonna go to the management committee about your thoughts, because I'm not sure that, we're open to this conversation. Anyone else who wants to comment on Samantha's thoughts, they're free to, of course. But we have talked about this quite a bit here, and I want to look to the management committee about what you think a next course of action might be. Is this something that would need to be discussed at the VINA GSA board? What are your thoughts, management committee?
Yeah, I'll say this is up to the SHAC to discuss and make a recommendation up to the VINA GSA board. If you're going to want to change the charter and do it in a way as Samantha described, or some of the other changes, that's well within your purview. We'll take a recommendation up to the VINA GSA board for them to adopt the changes to the charter. So, it's open if you want to have that discussion and get a sense from the SHAC on how you want to structure your committee to make the best informed recommendation to the VINA GSA board.
Thank you, Paul. I'm just waiting a little bit here to see if there are other SHAC members who would like to make a comment or offer a question. George?
Yeah. I've dealt with lots of boards and a lot of sittings in the past and not completely familiar with our charter, so I can't tell you whether it's in it or not. But I do agree that it should be appropriate that we should adopt a process of how a SHAC member can get things placed on the agenda. And maybe even a section on the public getting something placed on the SHAC agenda. Because in my history, it has always led to lots of conflict and concern. So in absent us having a process in the rules to get something placed on the agenda, which I don't remember, that's probably an appropriate thing and it'll clear up a lot of conflict in the future.
Oh, thank you for addressing that, George. And that takes up one item that Samantha raised about items on the agenda. We're tracking that and we'll check in with the SHAC members on that item in a moment. Let's just identify the sort of universe of comments and then we'll come back. So Mariana, please go ahead and track that item about including a provision on the charter for how to place agenda items how to get items on the agenda. Gary? You're on mute, Gary.
I just am wondering if I need to chime in on this and support Samantha's. There were, as I'm remembering, there were three or four of us besides Samantha that thought that this might be a better method of running our meetings. And anyway, I just trying to clarify a little bit. You're saying that in you will go to the GSA meeting and talk to them about this. I'm curious as to how this will be presented if we don't go around the room and have a vote. Will you be saying one person in the group suggested this and presented in that method? I'm a little confused because it without having a vote, I don't know where this step is going to be and how it's going to be presented to the Vina GSA.
No, I was seeking clarification from the Gary, thank you for that. We're seeking clarification from the management committee about their suggestions for how to handle this. And Paul, since we've had this conversation a couple of times, and Paul clarified that it really is up to the SHAC to make those recommendations to the Vina GSA board. So for example, if you wanted to change the structure of your committee to have a chair and co-chair, for example. And so that's something that we are discussing now and would only go up to the Vina GSA board after, as you said, after a vote is taken or a consensus is achieved on this item. So there is no action being taken until the SHAC is clear about what they're at, what that recommendation is. So no one will be going to the Vina GSA board until that time. Does that help, Gary?
It helps, but I'm a little dense on this. I still would like to know what our next step is to pursue this, to get it to the board. You as a management
I think, isn't that in the amendments section? If you scroll down to the bottom, it says that we can recommend changes. So I am recommending we go to a traditional model. And now we are recommending that to the board. And I think the board should amend our charter so that we have a traditional model.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
go ahead.
If any of those recommendations are brought up, If there's a consensus by the Shack, that's fine. If it turns out that through the raise of hands, that's going to constitute a vote, and it's a majority vote of the Shack, that's what will be reported to the Vina GSA board, that the Shack recommended XYZ to change the charter and, you know, and go from there. So yeah, there would be quote unquote a vote, could be consensus, it could be majority, and that's what would be brought to the Vina GSA board is the, you know, the view of the Shack.
Yes, thank you, Paul. So the two things that I think we're, I'm actually going to clear these nonverbal cues right now. The two things that I've heard so far, I wanted to get, as I said, sort of the universe of comments out on the table before we took any vote. So we knew sort of what we were dealing with. So one of the things that we've addressed here in terms of a potential modification to the charter is an additional modification to the charter is to have a provision in place for how agenda items are placed on the agenda from either Shack members or the public. So that's one item. The second is making a recommendation for the Shack adopting as Samantha was framing it, a more traditional model, which would include a chair, a vice chair that would come from your from the Shack members yourselves. And so those are the two items that I've heard so far about additional modifications in addition to what we've already discussed and made modifications of the draft modifications that we have here, which are what occurs under extenuating circumstances and the process for the meeting notes to be approved. Samantha, your hand's up.
Yes, I also believe in a traditional model, including a quorum.
And would you say more about that?
Certainly. Since we're not meeting in person, I think that having a established number of people that must be present for the duration of the meeting will protect us in the end when decisions are made and someone says, but I lost connection, my power went out, or I had to leave the meeting because my dog was barking. I think that it will cover us for the liability of, well, the decision was made because we had quorum still.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for giving a more detailed response to that. I think that's helpful. Okay, so then in addition, so as a component of the traditional model, it would be chair, vice chair, and then also ensuring a quorum, which would be a certain number of people, which of course would be determined is a part of the discussion of a quorum for the duration of the meeting. Okay, and so again, the items in addition to those that are proposed currently are the a process for agenda items and the traditional model, including the chair, vice chair, and quorum. Any other topics that you think are important to raise as a part of how the group functions before we then, address them specifically. Cherie?
Yep, never mind. You just answered my question.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, Shack members, that you'd like to raise before we address them specifically? Okay, hearing none. We don't need to wordsmith the language right now, but let me go ahead and ask the Shack members to use your nonverbal cues to answer the question if you would like to include a provision which clearly states how items are placed on the agenda, how items are placed on the agenda from the public or the Shack. Can I see you use your yes or no?
I think we should have a discussion on each one before you actually ask yes or no's, because you threw them out on the table. We've identified what we're going to talk about, but I think we should discuss them before you start putting hands up. My two cents.
I see, George. Okay, thank you. Does this require more discussion about including a provision or what you might like to have included in the provision for how agenda items are placed on the agenda from either the public or the SHAC? So let's go ahead and open that up for discussion as per George's suggestion. Any discussion how you like that, what you would like to see included in that provision for how agenda items would be placed on the agenda? Sheree?
I was just gonna say that I agree. I think it's a good idea.
Thanks, Sheree. Did someone else wanna get in there?
I'll just jump in and make a suggestion that, any SHAC member can have an item placed on the agenda. It must be sent, the request must be sent into the management committee 48 hours before the finalization of the agenda, something like that.
Thank you for the proposal. So to help us get that provision in place, so the components of that would be that any SHAC member can place an item on the agenda. And is that just a SHAC member? Because we also mentioned the public. But how you stated it, George, was any SHAC member can place an item on the agenda. It should be sent to the management committee within 48 hours of the scheduled meeting. Greg?
Actually, 48 hours of the agenda being posted.
48 hours of the agenda being posted, which would mean at least 5 days, business days before, because they're posted at least 3 business days before the SHAC meeting as per Brown Act. Does that work for you, George, per your proposal there?
Yep, that works.
Okay, 5 business days before SHAC meeting, sent to the management committee to be placed on the agenda. Greg?
Yeah, I can agree with that, but I think it needs to be limited to the SHAC members to put items on the agenda, not the public.
Okay, thanks for that clarification and that refinement. So the proposal currently, Sheree?
Yeah, I was just going to second what Greg said, that I think it should be the SHAC members and not the public who can request agendized items. The public can bring their comments to a meeting, and then a SHAC member can propose it from there as an agendized item.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for confirming that and adding more detail, Sheree. So we've got the proposal on the table is that SHAC members can request items to be placed on the agenda. And in order to do so, SHAC members shall send the agenda items to the management committee at least 5 business days before the SHAC meeting is scheduled to occur. Any further discussion before I ask for you to weigh in with a yes or no on that proposal? Okay, hearing no further refinements to that suggestion, could I ask you to use your yes or no for the inclusion of that provision with those components as stated? Okay, is that all the SHAC members? Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. And thank you for that discussion and for making a proposal and refining it. So I think we've effectively captured that language. So now let's move to the structure of the SHAC. The proposal at a very high level has been I'm going to go ahead and clear these nonverbal cues now. And the high level proposal is to for the Shack to adopt a more traditional model of how it operates, which would include the chair and vice chair, which would be taken from the Shack members, would be in some way selected from the Shack members, and for there to be a quorum. So I'd like to open it up for the group's discussion about your thoughts about this proposal.
I have a question for Butte County. Does the Water Advisory Committee have a chair and vice chair, or the Technical Advisory Committee to the Water Commission? And how does it, if not, how well does it work?
They both do have a chair and vice chair.
And how well does it work, I think, was the other piece?
It's worked well as long as I've been here. You know, it's a traditional format. We don't have a facilitator. You know, it's just staff, so it's a more traditional alignment of a advisory committee.
Okay. Any questions or further thoughts on this, Greg?
Yeah. Are we going to have a facilitator, Paul, through this whole process at our disposal, or is this, you know, short-term depends on funding?
Yeah, Tanya can weigh in. We're getting facilitation services through technical assistance support from the Department of Water Resources, and it's done on an annual basis. Services are due to expire the end of December, but we're in discussions with DWR about continuing it. We'd like to continue it. And I'd also suggest that if you go to a traditional format of a chair and vice chair, that we continue with facilitation services, because the support and effort that, you know, Tanya and Mariana put in is well beyond what the management committee, and I think even what would be tasked to the chair, would be capable of doing. So I think we can, I'd like to propose, if this does go forward, that we continue the facilitation services.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Paul. I wouldn't want, you know, if I was a chair or vice chair, I wouldn't want to take on the responsibility and don't have the time to that the facilitators are putting into these meetings. But I don't know, I'm torn each way. Maybe since we can put things on the agenda now that we'd like to see on there, maybe we can just go with what we have for a little bit. And if we don't like it or don't have a facilitator, then go to a chair and a vice chair.
Okay, thank you, Greg, and thank you for the question. So Greg has asked to clarify, and I think that, and Paul has described, and I wouldn't add anything to what he said about facilitation support services. It certainly, facilitation support services could continue with a chair and vice chair in place, and the management committee and the Shack and the Vina GSA board could provide clarification about what services they would like the facilitator to assist with, right? And then create the scope of work to be consistent with that. So that can work with a chair and vice chair in place as well, as long as those facilitation support services are available. And then Greg has made another potential suggestion that, do we want to leave it as is with the facilitator running the meetings now that we have an insured way to put the items on the agenda? So we'll just let the conversation continue because we haven't quite landed on this yet. Greg, did you want to follow up there before I go to Cherie?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I mean, maybe we should have a chair and a vice chair that get together with the facilitator to make an agenda. But then the facilitator, you know, at the beginning of the meeting starts running the meeting, you know, like you have been. And I could live with that. That would be fine. That way, if something happens with the facilitator, we're all set up to go without them. So. Uh-huh.
Yeah, let me give you a little example, Greg, just as a follow-up of how this could potentially work, right? We could, so usually I work with the management committee on developing the agenda. There could be a regular planning call that would include the chair and vice chair, or at least one of those individuals, depending on availability, to develop the to prepare for the meeting. And then during the meeting, it, you know, the facilitator could do things like, we could continue taking notes, we can set up, as long as we're in an online meeting, we can continue to host the Zoom meetings, we can also help facilitate discussions that could, in the planning meetings, everyone could work out sort of what the roles, the preferred roles and responsibilities were, right? So there have been different advisory committees, like when I worked with the Truckee River Basin Water Group, for example, there's a chair there who was on the Board of Supervisors of Nevada County, and I facilitated the meetings sort of as almost like a co-facilitation role with that chairperson, and that worked quite well. And it was really, you know, dependent on what their stated needs were, because we're here to be in service to all of you. Cherie and then Gary.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification around the facilitation, Paul and Tanya and Greg. I had the same question. Since we do have facilitation and having served on, you know, other committees and boards and stuff, I was curious, you know, what purpose that a chair or a vice chair would serve and how it would make our work and our meetings any different than what we're currently doing. And so I appreciate the conversation that was just had. You know, given what you were just talking about with having, you know, chair and vice chair facilitating the meeting agenda, and really I think I'm hearing that just being more like kind of back of house facilitation, I would be fine with that. I mean, again, I was just kind of just questioning how having a chair or vice chair would change what we're doing, but that agenda formation seems to make sense. Especially if we have the facilitation services. Regarding the quorum, I do agree that the quorum is an important piece to have, especially as we are taking votes. So, you know, if there can just be a moment of pause to tally votes and make sure that we do have a quorum every time there is a yes, no vote, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks, Cherie. Gary and then George. Gary, you're on mute, Gary.
Am I on? I'm unmuted now, I hope.
Yes, you are.
My question is, it sounds like part of this may be out of our control anyway. It, as Paul's saying, it as the financing for a facilitator and so forth is may take place and probably will. But my question in particular is, so if the facilitator is presently, as we were just discussing about going to the Viner GSA and presenting issues, assuming there wasn't a facilitator, then is that going to be the fault or the responsibility of the chair or the vice chair? Or I'm just curious how all of this would maybe play out.
Gary, currently I do not engage directly with the Vina GSA board as the facilitator. The work that I'm currently doing is with you, with the Shack members, and then we document through the meeting notes the proceedings of the meetings, and then the management committee takes their staff reports to the VINA GSA board. That's how it currently works.
So it is pretty much just a paper transfer to them for them to look at and decide. They look at what we have voted on or not voted on, and based on paper, not a person presenting to them. Is that correct?
Well, the staff. The staff presents, the management committee. Paul?
Yeah, I was going to add in, if there wasn't, I think the question was too, if there wasn't facilitation services, how would that land, whether it would land to the chair or vice chair? And no, it lands to staff, and that's traditionally, whether it's the Water Commission or Technical Advisory Committee, we're staff to those committees. So, you know, the preliminary work, which we do weigh in and prepare, but all that work that Tanya and Mariana would fall to staff of the management committee. And then, yes, the actions of the Shack are reported up to the GSA board, particularly if there's a summary of the meetings and what the outcomes were. But if there's specific recommendations, those are also transmitted as reports and potential agenda items for the GSA board to consider.
I see.
Thank you for the question and for the clarification. George?
Thank you. It's been a good discussion. I guess I would just throw out, since it looks like we're going to have the ability for every Shack member to add something to the agenda, rather than naming a chair and a vice chair and adding another meeting that they would have to attend and planning the agenda, I guess I'd recommend we just put that discussion on hold as long as we have a facilitator funded, and then bring it back up when that funding becomes a question. So that's my two cents.
Thanks, George. Thoughts on George's proposal to realizing that the importance of the Shack members being able to have a process for placing topics on the agenda. And as long as that's in place, perhaps we put on hold, or the Shack puts on hold, a decision about a chair, vice chair, as long as there is funding for facilitation. Thoughts on that proposal? Sherry?
That's okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good proposal for now.
Others? What are your thoughts on this proposal? Because I have a sense that there are some on the Shack who really feel that it's important for there to be a chair and vice chair. It has come up several times. So this proposal is not taking that off the table, but it's saying for now, let's make these other changes and put this question of a chair or vice chair on hold. And I want to make sure that is something that everyone on the Shack has weighed in on, is particularly if this question of a chair and vice chair is important to you. So other thoughts on this proposal? Samantha?
Yes, I agree with George. Now that there is a process for getting things on the agenda, I think that we can table the idea of a chair or vice chair until there's a change in our facilitation services.
Thank you, Samantha. Okay, so again, the proposal stands that we are including a process for inclusion of agenda items, and for the time being, and as long as there are facilitation support services available, to table the chair and vice chair decision. Any further discussion on this before I ask for a yes/no vote? Okay, Samantha, is that just an old hand that's still up?
Yeah, that's an old hand.
Okay, I'll take it down. Okay, great. Thank you. Let me ask again for you to weigh in using your yes, no cues that we will include a provision on in the charter for inclusion of agenda items. We've already voted on that, and there is a consensus on that. And given that that is in place, that for the time being, the SHAC wishes to table a decision about a chair and vice chair as long as there are facilitation support services in place. Okay, thank you. I see that Gary, did you want to say something? Gary, you're on mute.
I just am questioning. This has nothing to do with the okay about having a quorum or to take minutes. Is that correct?
This is not about having a quorum. This is about, but we will address that item next. Okay. This is about, for the time being, tabling the chair and vice chair decision, not taking it off the table, but not making a determination now. Right. Do you support that? Gary? Yes. Okay. I saw that. Okay. Great. Let's take up the last item here. And that is regarding a quorum. Any further discussion? Let's open this up for discussion about how you feel about including a quorum in your charter, and then what you would like for that to include. Greg?
I agree. We need to make sure we have a quorum, especially if we record the votes on how things are voted. Every board I've been on, you have to have a quorum to do any business. So I think that that's extremely important.
Thank you, Greg. I've only heard from those who think it's important to have a quorum. Okay, George, go ahead. George, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. I agree with the thought that since we're doing an online meeting and we're not all in here, that the minutes should reflect the number of yeses and nos, so that that will show that a quorum was present when they voted, because people can bounce in and out.
I see. So for the decisions that we've made so far today, just as an example, because of this notion, right, because it's possible that people can jump in and out. Any time that I've called for a yes and no, even though so far we've come to consensus on everyone's voted yes, and so we've had unanimous decisions, you would like to see that reflected in the meeting minutes.
Yes, with actually the number of yes or no votes. That way, that tells you exactly whether you had a quorum to vote it or not.
Uh-huh, yeah. Since you're speaking on this, so how would you define a quorum?
Well, I refer to the Brown Act. They usually have a definition of a quorum based on the number of participants. Maybe management staff can help us with that. It's been a while since I've had to look that up.
Okay, Gary, you've said no. Gary, did you want to say something here? Okay. Sorry, Paul, you went off. Gary, I'll check in with you in a minute.
Yeah,
Sorry, I was trying to, I couldn't find my mouse. Mouse loose in the house. So typically, as George said, the quorum would be a majority of, you could do it as seated members. So for this would be six, but it's usually a majority of the seated members.
Uh-huh. Thank you for helping define that. So at this time, what we've had, what we have as a suggestion here is to include in the charter a quorum, the need for a quorum, and that a quorum would be a majority of seated members, and that anytime a vote or a decision is made, that the meeting minutes would reflect the number of yeses and noes, even if even if a determination is all yeses, it's important to see who was actually present for the vote. Any further discussion on that proposal for including a quorum, a quorum being defined as a majority of seated members, and any time a decision is made for those yeses and noes to be recorded? George, and then Cherie?
Cherie might have beat me, but I'll jump in. So I think it needs to be clarified that any action taken must be in the affirmative of the majority, not the majority of those present, but the majority of the seated board members.
For any action to carry, it needs to be the majority of the seated members, not those who are present.
Yes, so if, just as an example, if only six people showed up to the meeting and something came up on the agenda and five were yes and one were no, that should not be an action of the entire committee because it's a minority of the whole.
Okay, thank you for that further clarification. Cherie?
I was just remembering, I feel like we had a conversation about this with our previous call, I think the June call, about the meeting minutes or summaries or whatever we're gonna call them, and having attribution for who voted which way. Did we decide that we were going to do that?
We did, except what has been clarified for me in this conversation, which has been super helpful, is that that applies to even when there is consensus, right? So anytime today, so that's why in the last meeting minutes, we didn't include that because any decisions were made by consensus. But now, particularly within the context of a quorum, we have clarified, and in today's, for the proceedings from today's meeting, you'll see that all the times that I have called for a yes or no vote, that it will, even though so far it's been unanimous, those will be tallied.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that we were being consistent with previous conversations.
Thank you for sharing the through line there. George, your hand's still up? Okay, thank you.
Old hand.
Okay. Okay, so I think what's on the table right now is the, and I'm gonna ask for you to use your yes, no cues again, is that we will include a quorum of in the charter. A quorum will be defined as a majority of seated members, and any actions that are taken need to be, in order for them to carry, need to be at least a majority of the seated members, not those who are present, but the seated members. Please use your yes and no. Okay, thank you, SHAC members, that everyone has voted yes, that is a unanimous recommendation. Okay, so we have now captured that we will include, we will have a process for action items, We have a process. We have clarified a quorum and the different provisions associated with the quorum. We will not be including at this time a chair and vice chair, but it's still on the table as we stated. So now let me just summarize. I'm going to clear the nonverbal cues. Let me just do one more thing before we move on. And I know we're at time and it's super important that we stay on time because we don't want any other agenda item to not be addressed. But let me just quickly check in because we haven't, I just want to get confirmation of, we did workshop this, what you see on the screen, the process for basically us sending out meeting notes ahead of time so that you can review them before the meeting is essentially what this whole process describes here. So we've included a provision describing what happens with the meeting. Meeting notes, we're calling them meeting notes. If you want them to be called meeting minutes, we can make that change. So any further discussion regarding this revision, this modification in the charter related to meeting notes, and if you want to see any changes there, I'll open it up to the SHAC. Okay, I'm not seeing any. What I want to leave this now, since we're running just a few minutes behind, because we're bringing this back to you. And so you can look at the whole thing again. We'll leave these provisions here that the changes that we've made, these modifications, we'll leave them in red line, and then we'll add the other items that we've discussed today, bring it back to you next time so that you can see the new charter, its exact language before these modifications are taken to the VINA GSA board as recommendations. Okay, any further discussion or clarifications on what the process forward is with the charter? Okay, thank you so much. It's been a really good discussion, and I just feel like each time we get to a clear understanding of what the wishes are of the SHAC, and I think that you're able to clarify between and among yourselves how you want your advisory committee to function. So I think it's a really important conversation, and thank you. All right, I'm going to hand it off to you. I think it's you, Paul, right, who's giving a presentation on the GSP timeline. And do you want me to pull up the PowerPoint presentation, or would you like to do that? Paul, you're on mute.
There we go. I was going to say I can try it, but I need to...
I'll do it. You just tell me when to advance.
Cool.
Okay. Here we go. Let me just get it into the proper view. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Great. So this is very similar to the presentation I gave to the VINA GSA board on the 12th. I did not change the date. So this is the VINA sub-basin with the VINA GSA and the Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA. Next. I can't hear you, Tanya.
I know. Sorry. Go ahead.
All righty. So today I'm just going to go over the GSP development status, some of the upcoming steps. And again, we asked the board for direction. No direction was given at the meeting, but it'll definitely take input discussion from the SHAC. This is we've kind of hit kind of the big stage right now. This is the big march for the next 12 months to get the GSP kind of in a spot where we can start going through public hearings and final consideration by the VINA GSA board. That of course is barring our potential request for an extension. So this will reflect current status. Next, please. So the sustainability elements, again, you've seen this before. It's pretty extensive administrative information. Click. Basin setting, which Christina spoke about. Next. Sustainable management criteria, and I'll speak a bit about that. That's one of the big keys coming up. Next. Monitoring network information, partially worked on, but a lot more work to go. Next. And project and management actions. Those are the requirements. These are in the regulations. There are other requirements that have to be fulfilled as part of inclusion in the GSP. Next. So the overall timeline, and this is just big picture, the basin setting project, which we should have in quotes because it also included some other pieces, was really the first phase. And we're kind of at least reaching the point where the public review draft is out for comment and will get presented to the SHAC and the VINA GSA board. We are now shifting over to GSP completion and all those remaining elements that we need to complete to submit the plan by January 30th of 2022. And then the final, you know, this is just the final leg to get the submission. I should note that the plan, this is going to be a single plan submitted on behalf of the VINA and Rock Creek Reclamation District GSAs for one plan. We still have a coordination agreement with Rock Creek that's being considered by their board. But for all intent and purposes, we're working together to work through the final pieces of the GSP. Once the plan is submitted, and I didn't get into this, there is a considerable amount of work that follows right on the heels of that in terms of implementation, filling data gaps. The annual report will be due in April of 2022, so we'll be able to take one short breath and then move on. Next, please. Okay, so the Prop 1 grant. So far for the basin setting project in the early stages, this is expenditure so far. The final phase of GSP completion, a grant contract was awarded to GeoSyntech for $390,995 to complete certain elements. There are certain draft portions of the GSP that staff are going to take on. So this is not all shifted out to the consultant. I should note the remaining funds that were dedicated, we had grouped them all for the basin settings because they would cover the extent of the three sub-basins as one project. Now, since we're getting into management actions that are sub-basin or GSP specific, there was a lot of interest from the various GSA managers that there was some budgetary commitment towards each of the three sub-basins. So one sub-basin's workload didn't draw from the others. So we have separate contracts with separate budgets from the consultants to work through the tasks. Next, please. So basin setting, real quickly, these are out for public review draft. And as Christina described, they will go for public review. They'll come to the SHAC for a review comment, get reported to the board with the response to comments, review from the SHAC, and then we'll get comments and direction from the board. But none of these public review drafts will become final till the entire GSP is packaged up and it goes through another round of public comments and full consideration by the GSA board. So the monitoring protocol was in, and also data and reporting standards, technical memo, which follows very closely exactly what's in the GSP regulations. Next, please. Again, public review draft. This is the process. This is going to be a standardized process I think we will employ for the other sections, preparing a public review draft, putting that out for comment period, reviewing those comments, reporting up through the SHAC and then to the board. And none of the chapters will get final till the GSP is adopted. Next, please. So the final phase, there is considerable administrative information. Staff are going to largely draft this up. They want a description of the agency, of the plan area, the notice and communication. There's summaries of the general plan, both within the county, the city, within the basin, but also a summary of the general plans in the adjoining sub-basins. So we'll be packaging that up. Interbasin coordination, this is a very important topic, something that staff have started to work on through work of Tanya and Mariana through CBI. Each of the agencies that have been getting the Prop 1 grant from DWR have some aspect task associated with interbasin coordination. So we've started some preliminary discussion with our adjoining sub-basins on what those tasks are. And how we're going to carry out interbasin coordination in a coordinated way. So under that, it's really looking at the guidance of coordination agreements, some of those elements, but we're at the early stages to identify what the models are being used by the consultants with different hydrologic conceptual models and starting to fill in those technical pieces. So we can at least talk apples to apples. And as we get further down the line on sustainable criteria, there'll be ongoing interaction. And once we start getting the preliminary information, this will become reported out. So this will be done in concert parallel with the other pieces of the GSP completion. Monitoring networks, there's a good baseline information on the network and protocols. We do have work on representative monitoring to do, and that's choosing the wells that will tie specifically to some of the elements we're looking at, whether it's groundwater elevation or stream depletion, tied to measurable objectives. And the assessment improvement of the monitoring networks for a variety of different things. And then we do need to describe our data management system. Next, please. So the sustainable management criteria, this is the most important management decision that's going to be made. These are the enforceable criteria that will be used to guide us towards sustainability. So this will be something that will be a very iterative process with the public, with the SHAC and the VINA GSA board to look at what our sustainability goal is going to be and the minimum thresholds to and measurable objectives to avoid the undesirable results. And those are listed below, but the undesirable results to the groundwater users, and that's going to require analysis of the impacts to domestic wells, agriculture wells, other water supply wells, as well as groundwater dependent ecosystems, depletion of interconnected waters, surface waters, and ecosystem impacts. So the whole gambit, which will be sub-basin specific, management area specific. We do have the three management areas. So each one of these will be reflected in each one of those management areas. And they will have to be designed also in a way that are consistent with each other, that we're not at cross purposes between the different management areas. And then those enforceable criteria for sustainable management criteria have to be met by the means of getting there. Otherwise, the plan is going to be in non-compliance. So if we do want to set the minimum threshold of measurable objectives for the basin in 20 years as X, we need to describe over that time frame how we're going to get there through actions and projects. And I have a discussion at the next agenda item on the process we're going to take to get us along on those path lines. So those are the two main pillars of the management decisions coming up. And again, both of these, and this was a cornerstone of Sigma, these are going to be publicly driven. We've talked about this being very analogous to general planning, where you're really laying out for the public what the community values are going to be, how we're going to sustain the basin and what that's going to mean, what we're going to, you know, what we're going to invest in to achieve that level of sustainability, because projects or management actions or regulatory programs or doing nothing are all going to have costs. And so economic analysis will also be part of that, because these will have to be funded. And none of these will be funded solely from the grant. I should note that DWR does have a grant solicitation proposal out, and it's for GSPs that are in that are completed. So we wouldn't be eligible to get the grant till 2022, but they're initially proposing for each subbasin a minimum of $2 million and a maximum of $5 million for GSP implementation. And that will be important as we start to identify data gaps in the plan. And I think as much data as that we have in a long history and of managing and monitoring the basin, there are gonna be a lot of activities, monitoring programs, data needs we're going to have. So expectation, the plan that we get submitted is gonna be just the start. It's gonna be really setting out not only the path to sustainability, but also a path to continue to close the gap on some of the uncertainties and information we need for sustainability. Next, please. So again, this is just a big picture timeline for completion. So the draft VINA GSP, so we're sitting here getting close to September of 2022 to April. So next 18 months is gonna be really emphasized on sustainable management criteria, monitoring network, interbasin coordination, and project and management actions. These are all gonna be somewhat interrelated. They're gonna be done as specific projects, but they're all gonna be interrelated and worked up through through the SHAC, through some public workshops, direction from the VINA GSA board. So it would be an iterative process. So 8 months may seem like a long time, but as we start putting out initial drafts and proposals, there'll be feedback. There'll have to be additional analysis done by our consultant team, management committee to report back. So we get at a point that where the SHAC, the public, and the VINA GSA board wanna go, we have that framed out. So it's gonna be a interesting, important step as we go through the next 8 months to develop these pieces. Next, please. And then once we get into April, and this will start to, once we get to April, each one of those previous sections will be like we did with basin setting, preliminary public review draft. It will go off a comment. There'll be SHAC discussions, board direction for each one of those pieces. And then once we get into April, there'll be additional comments that will come in on those chapters. We'll need to address those. We'll need to start packaging up the GSP into more of a complete package. And at that point too, there's gonna be, I think, another lens, and this is why it's important that none of these are final till the entire GSP is put together, because once all the pieces are put together, even basin setting, there may be some other questions or other issues that come up that we need to address, whether it's a data gap or something to make it more consistent. So we're looking at this piece on next summer is really packaging up the VINA GSP with the public comment period, SHAC reviewing recommendations and direction from the board. We will also have a required consultation with the land use agencies, and fortunately with Butte County and City of Chico as the member agencies, and working closely with our partner departments on land use. We'll have consultation throughout the process, but we will formalize the consultation with the land use agencies as required by SGMA and the GSP regs. Next, please. So then we're getting into approximately a year from now, September to December. So we'll have the entire big package of the GSP plan together, including all the elements. The GSP elements, there's a multi-page spreadsheet with all the elements that need to be included as part of the GSP, far more detailed than what I outlined or even what that reference to the regulations were. It's pretty extensive. So those will be packaged up. There'll be a public hearing process to formally get public comments on that proposed GSP. We're building in a sufficient amount of time between September and December that, depending upon public comments and direction from the board, if there are changes, we want to make sure that this time to accommodate a couple board meetings, to accommodate changes, modifications. So in the end, we can get to December of 2021 with final board action on the approval of the GSP. And in January, that will give management team committee time to package up to submit through the GSP portal. It's something we just can't put in a binder and ship off to DWR. They have a web supported tool that each one of the elements has to be put in through this web portal. We've done it before for some of the other actions, but it's administrative steps that we want to make sure we build in sufficient time that we don't miss the deadline. Next, please. That's it. Thank you. I'll open it up for questions, thoughts, but long and short is we're hitting probably the most exciting, critical, important phase of GSP development. So here we go.
Greg, I see your hand is up.
Yes, you know, earlier in the meeting and public comment, we had some of the SHAC members and others wanting to ask DWR for a delay and the state for a delay in the SGMA process. Looking at the PowerPoint that Paul just did, there's a lot of dates in there, but there's a lot of areas where we have to have public input and required to. You look at the next item on the agenda, the PMA process, it has some of the same criteria in there. So I think this is a point in the meeting where we could have a motion to send letters out and request, rather than put it on the next meeting, on the agenda for the next meeting, that we could vote right now to have some letters sent requesting an extension on the SGMA process.
Thank you, Greg, for that suggestion. Let's hear what others have to say and we'll return to that. Bruce and then Samantha.
I'd just like to, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'd just like to point out that to complete the GSPs, that those GSPs are dependent on identifying groundwater dependent ecosystems, GDEs, and that process is being worked on, but it's incomplete at this time. So I just wanted to point out that GSPs are dependent on GDEs.
Thank you, Bruce. And we'll discuss that further, I think, at the next meeting that's intended to be on the agenda. Thank you, Bruce. And Samantha?
I second Greg Sonnery's motion.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Yes, to consider taking action on the suggestion to the VINA GSA board or the recommendation from the SHAC to ask DWR for an extension. Let me ask before we go to that, if there are any other questions for Paul about any of the content that he presented about GSP completion. Pardon me. Okay, let's, Samantha, I see your hand up.
Yeah, the slide with the budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to that. Let me go to that. That was sort of earlier in the presentation, yes. Oh, there it was. Yes, go ahead.
Paul, is $49,640 enough money for your staff to come up with a GSP?
No, that grant administration, and that's billed throughout the entire grant period, and it's for administering the grant. So the work that goes into doing, we have to do quarterly reports to DWR, and invoicing of the consultants and other times. So there's, and then we have need to project out budget on a quarterly basis and in a level of activity, and then even processing the invoices of the consultant. So that's the only thing that's charged here is just the administration of the Prop 1 grant over the 3-year period that we have the grant.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Samantha. Any other questions or comments on the content from Paul's presentation? Let me ask first, I see your hand is up, Deborah, but let me first make sure that there aren't any other questions or comments from the SHAC, and then I will go to you. SHAC members, any clarifying questions for Paul? Seeing none, Deborah? You're on mute, okay.
Sorry about that. This is probably for Paul. I'm just trying to understand, Paul, on how the VINA GSA budget intersects with this budget. This budget is contained within the Water Department's budget?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're administering the grant for the three sub-basins on behalf of all the GSAs. So even though it's in the county budget and we're administering it, this is done on behalf of all the GSAs and not county specific. So as part of the VINA GSA budget, the VINA GSA as an agency has certain things they need to do to function. One is insurance. There was legal counsel because we needed as part of the JPA to contract with outside legal counsel, and that's a cost. I think I said insurance and something else. So
Okay, I get that part. I was just wondering. So this, when the VINA GSA budget was passed the other night, and it said grant, this is what you were talking about under grant.
Correct. So what that reflects is that the grant is not under the VINA GSA or any other GSA's budget, because we're administering on behalf, but it reflects that there's funding support in support of GSP development. The other major piece is that the GSP, the grant, is not totally sufficient to carry out every single aspect of a GSP requirements and the elements, and
Paul, you might want to take off your video. We're having a hard time hearing you. Go ahead and stop your video.
Goodbye. So the carrying out of the administration of the VINA GSA, there's besides Tanya Mariana's work, there's a considerable amount of work to manage and function the agency as an independent agency, as well as the tasks associated with the grant. And that's all done through in-kind staff support.
Okay, thank you.
And might I make one clarification that there was a period of time when CBI's work was under Proposition 1 under this grant, but right now for this work, it's being funded through a separate program that comes directly from DWR's Facilitation Support Services program. So currently it's not being billed to the Prop 1.
So just for clarification, does that hit Butte County's budget, or is it just completely separate and DWR, it holds it in its budget?
It's a separate program. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so what DWR does is they have certain programs where they have technical support services. One is facilitation, so we GSAs can put in a request, in this case for facilitation. They work with us on framing out some of the issues, and we talked about the three sub-basins. The advisory committees need to help support the facilitation, as well as the interbasin coordination effort, which also was tasked to CBI as part of the work order from DWR. They also have other technical support services, well installation, and staff, Kelly in particular, has been working through that process to have well dedicated monitoring wells installed. There was a successful program request put in the Wyandotte Creek sub-basin, and that will be the first multi-completion monitoring well in that sub-basin. There's also some work being developed in Vina that we're working on too. So there's a variety of technical support services that DWR has, principally, I think, funded from Prop 1, Prop 68.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I was curious because when I saw the Vina GSA budget of $15,000, I just did not understand how any work could occur with that budget.
No, right, correct.
So this is the addendum to that $15,000.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Deborah. Okay, MSHAC members, any other questions for Paul on the GSP completion timeline or content? Okay, MSHAC members, because we had thought of this as an information item, I'm going to go ahead and stop screen share. Because we had thought of this as an information item, we are out of time for this agenda item. And I heard the request from Greg and the second from Samantha about wanting to take up an action to potentially ask for the Vina GSA board to request an extension to DWR. Is that something that, Paul, I see your hand is up. I'm just wanting to clarify in our use of time, if that's what the SHAC would like to use with our time right now. Paul, you had something?
Yeah, I think on one hand, from a strict standpoint, this wasn't agendized as an action item. I mean, we could be a little loose and get the sense from the SHAC, and I think the likelihood of getting a challenge isn't great, but I think we could do that. Or if we get a sense from the SHAC on providing direction to the management committee that you would like us to bring this item directly to the Vina GSA board about an extension, we can take it not as a recommendation from the SHAC, but rather the management committee could bring it based on direction and discussion from the SHAC and just bring it to the next Vina GSA board.
Thoughts on what Paul has proposed, Greg?
Yes, I don't care whether it's, in item number 7 we just got done looking at, or in item number 9 after the break. I think both of them give you the ability to take some kind of an action. And I do think we need to make a motion to request that our Vina GSA board write a letter to DWR, legislatures, the governor, to extend the Sigma deadlines for at least a year because of COVID-19 complications for public involvement. So that's my motion, and I don't care if we do it now or on number 9.
All right, good point there, Greg, right? Because the number 9, we do have the suggested action to provide input to the Vina GSA Management Committee, and the PMA is a component of the GSP. So thank you for that.
After the break. You want to take a break now? We can take it up after the break.
Yeah, maybe we do that. Let's hear what others have to say. Appreciate the suggestions there. Samantha?
Okay. Yeah, I'll amend my second for following up on item number 9, where we can have a input to the GSA Management Committee.
Okay. Thank you, Samantha and Greg, since you made the proposal in the second for conveying that to after the break. Let's go ahead then and take a break now. And let's see, what do we say? So it would just be a super quick break. Can we take, we had scheduled 10 minutes. Can we just take a 5-minute break, please? And come back right before 11 o'clock. So go ahead and do not log out. Just mute yourself and stop your video and then come back in 5 minutes. Thank you very much. Resume recording. Okay, go ahead.
Alrighty. And I should say that, you know, this this discussion, when we get through it, is probably going to meld over into item eight, identification of managing legal implications of artificial recharge. So we may cover some of the same ground in item eight, which I think would be good, and we can get through discussion on this topic. So this presentation was presented to the Vina GSA board last week, just as a information item and direction on the process. And as I go through it today, we're not going to make any decisions or any final decisions on project and management actions. I think initial brainstorming is in order, but really just lay out what the requirements are and what the timeline is to develop this. Again, this will be done in parallel track with sustainable management criteria and other GSP completion elements. Next, please. So it is going to be an overview of the requirements of project management actions and the process that we'll take to develop those for consideration by the Vina GSA board for inclusion into the GSP. Next, please. So project and management action, it's a required element of GSPs. It's referenced in the regulations and the certain elements that need to be required. And it's gonna comprise the efforts that will achieve the sustainability goals in the Vina GSP. So, you know, you can't have your sustainability criteria, your measurable objectives, your set your interim targets done independently without some actions or projects to get you there. So you just can't have those things unrelated. And conversely, these need to be tied directly to sustainable criteria. And again, it's all about avoiding the undesirable results. How are we going to get there to sustain the basin and avoid these undesirable results? Next, please. So project and management actions, they can include regulatory and non-regulatory actions. And I'll run through some examples. And I'll start with the Vina GSA board. GSAs were granted considerable authority under SGMA to take a lot of actions, a lot of regulatory actions on controlling pumping, if you will, or promoting projects to sustain the basin. The law also allows that the GSA could take any action it deems necessary to fulfill the purposes of the act. So the gambit is pretty wide for the GSA as it relates to implement the GSP to achieve sustainability. Now, the Vina GSA board may accept projects or actions or reference projects and actions by outside people. And it might be member agencies, water purveyors, others that come forward, that might come forward to say, hey, we're going to do X, Y, Z to reduce the demand on the basin or to do something else. That would be discretionary action on the part of the board. First, as I go through, any PMA, whether it's being advanced by the board or by referenced in the GSP that someone else is going to carry out, has to meet the criteria in the GSP regs or it wouldn't be deemed suitable. So anything that's put in there has to at least meet the minimum prescribed in the regulations. So I'll run through the requirements. Next, please. So as I go through the, and these are long-winded little bullet items, but they're pretty much almost taken verbatim from the GSP regulations and the requirements of the GSP. So, you know, if you have a referenced PMA, you have to talk about what the time frame to initiate and complete, and it has to be within the next, you know, the during the planning period of the GSP to achieve sustainability by 2042. But you need to have the schedule in there. You need to talk about how it's going to benefit the basin, what in terms of reductions on the demand in the basin, or if there's a recharge projects, what that's going to bring into the basin. And again, you're trying to offset the deficit, if you will, in the basin through a series of project and management actions. You need to explain how it's going to be accomplished and who's going to accomplish it and how they're going to do it. So it can't just be open-ended that, you know, we hope something will happen in this way, or we hope this project will be, that needs to be somewhat fairly explicit of how it's going to be carried out. The cost of the PMA and how you're planning on meeting those costs. So that's going to be an important element, because any PMA, whether even if it's a regulatory action, conservation program, you know, a recharge project, you need to talk about what the estimated cost is. It doesn't need to be fully designed out, and how you're planning on doing it. If it's going to be, you know, a fee assessed on the beneficial users of that project within the service area, or if it's going to be through some grants, or if you're going to take out some loans, some combination, you know, what the plan is to meet those costs, just so that's closed out. Next, please. So you do need to tie in the description of the measurable objective that's expected to benefit. So if a project is going to benefit groundwater levels or groundwater storage, or if it's, let's say, something where water is put into a creek or stream and you're helping to, one, do groundwater level improvements, or protect GDEs or interconnected stream depletion, those need to be referenced. And as you go forward, now I'll explain, the any of these project or management actions do not need to be quote unquote shovel ready when we submit the plan. There may be some project management actions that may not be implemented, let's say, until 2025, and then may take 10 years to get done till 2035. That's still within the time frame of getting sustainability by 2042, but you need to tie in what that benefit's going to be. If it's X number of thousand acre feet, when is that going to hit your interim targets, and how is that going to allow you to meet your interim milestones to avoid undesirable results. And then you need to describe how it's going to be implemented, and really also, I think, a fair assessment about the shortcomings or potential vulnerabilities of a project management action that goes forward, because some of it may be contingent upon a grant or another entity doing something, and the likelihood of success also needs to be described, as well as the permitting and regulatory process for each project and management action. Again, all of these are pretty extensive, but they don't need to, even though they do look and walk and talk like almost you need a feasibility study, you don't necessarily need to have that done. And one example, and this is an early one, is Rock Creek's been working for a number of years on the Sand Creek project that could be a recharge project, principally through FloodMAR. There's Prop 1 initial funding for developing some of the information that could lead to the feasibility study. So that project, you know, would not be a full feasibility study or implemented, but it would be definitely something that would be teed up if it's fleshed out during the planning period for the GSP. Next, please. So again, they don't need to be implemented or, again, shovel-ready by January 31st of 2022, but they do need to meet those criteria in the regulations, as well as acceptability for the VINA GSA. There's a 20-year implementation horizon, so they might be implemented, let's say, on year 10 to 15. But again, wherever you target their implementation, you need to report the progress every 5 years in your progress report. And that's tied to your interim measures. So if you're saying that you're going to expect a project or management action to get implemented by year X, and it's going to result in X number of thousand acre feet to the good of the basin, and it doesn't happen, you're going to need to report on that and deal with some contingencies. Either the schedule is going to need to change, or you're going to need to draw upon other PMAs to replace that one to stay on target for your interim target. So one, it means that you shouldn't place all your eggs in one basket or a limited number of basket, or limit your list of potential project management actions on just the bare minimum that you need to achieve your sustainability criteria, because you don't want to have to scramble to come up with ideas if you do have things you had planned on that either didn't perform or were unable to really get fulfilled out. Another issue, and this, a lot of this comes from the review of other GSPs that have been submitted for critically overdrafted basins. A lot had a whole range of different project and management actions. A lot that we saw really lacked some pretty stringent regulatory backstops. And what I mean by that is there needs to be, I think, for the certainty that you are going to meet your sustainability criteria, the VINA GSA board should include some regulatory measures that would assure that if the basin needs to address X thousand acre feet of groundwater pumping at some point, if other project and management actions that are not regulatory do not meet it, there should be some backstop that would be imposed by the VINA GSA to achieve the sustainability goals that are set. And those could be pumping limits or other range of regulatory things to limit pumping to achieve sustainability. Next, please. So this is a common chart that's put out on interim measures and kind of the pathway. It's done for critically overdrafted basins. We have 2 years. You can add 2 years to the date. So 2022, the GSP adoption date. So every 5 years, you need to put in your interim measures of where you expect to be, depending upon the implementation of different projects and management actions, where you're going to be on your pathway to meeting your measurable objective. And you need to report that in every 5 years, whether you're meeting your interim measures and the implementation of your project and management actions. So that's going to be a big check in with the state, and it's going to be required to really disclose where we're at on this timeline, how we're achieving our goals to achieve sustainability over the 20-year implementation period. Next, please. So reviewing a couple plans, one plan had a pretty good arrangement where they did have projects that were planned. And again, these met the criteria. They were expected to be completed by 2042. And this is what was put into the plan that was directly tied to achieving the sustainability criteria. So this would be almost the minimum that would be put into the category. Through the development of the GSP, and this is something I think we can all consider, there may be some potential projects out there that they may meet the criteria, their early planning stages, there's potential they could be completed by 2042. They may have uncertain funding sources, or maybe some things that are totally not fleshed out, but there's, you know, all things being equal, there's acceptability for the agency and to meet the sustainability criteria. Those will put in the bucket as a potential one. Those could be drawn upon if they get developed to replace other planned actions that may not really get fleshed out. And then there might be conceptual ones very early in the conceptual planning that might need more work. And those can put in almost as a parking lot for consideration later. Now, the conceptual one may get, fleshed out earlier on and then get moved up 5 or 10 years out, might get moved up that really it's a something that up through the advisory committee, up through the GSA board that they want to advance out. So it really gives a nice suite and matrix of the range of things that would be brought in and drawn upon over the 20-year implementation. So next, please. This is just an example of a matrix that could come in. These are the criteria. Each one of these would have a more fleshed out description, but you could have everything from conservation programs, a recharge project, some recycling, surface water replacement, pumping allocation, some other restrictions or fees. And then those would be tied into, the measurable objective, expected to benefit, the plan, potential concept, which management area is this a project that would be in the North Vina, the Chico management area, South Vina, because those would be tied, or it could be basin-wide, and then what the expected groundwater demand reduction would be. And those would be fleshed out almost in a spreadsheet format, and those planned actions would have to add up to what was determined to be the deficit in the sustainable yield in the GSP. Next, please. So just the process moving forward, again, the march to next spring to have at least the chapter for PMAs done in concert with the sustainability criteria and the other completion elements. We're gonna start now through initial discussions with the SHAC. We've slated to have a workshop in November, and between the next couple SHAC meetings, we will keep this on the agenda for discussions and fleshing out in preparation for a public workshop, and then bring it back to the SHAC for discussions and real refinement. I'd like to check in with the Vina GSA board in January on what draft matrix unranked and get direction from the board. Next, please. And then in February, come back with the SHAC, potentially another workshop through February, March, and then targeting April to have review and possible recommendations to the board. And again, this would be a presentation of a public review draft that would go off a public comment up through the SHAC and then presented to the board. And again, nothing would be final till the entire GSP is packaged up. So next, please. So the initial conceptual, discussion, we kind of moved to open up, and this will be open for you all. Really the projects or management actions are going to go into two categories. One is either put more water into the basin through some recharge projects. Floodmar, we talked about the Sand Creek project up in Rock Creek is an example of that. There's programs being developed and some funding to support that. State Board is modifying some of their water rights rules to reflect the need to have some of these projects done by GSAs for sustainability. Or you're going to reduce what gets pumped out of the basin. And some combination of these. And that in the reduced pumping, you're going to conserve and pump less. We could put restrictions in. There's fees or land use changes, as well as some other things that could be done. And those are the two basic types of categories that projects and management actions will fall into. So next in a open this up the next two slides and we can come back for discussion is basically starting the initial brainstorming with the SHAC on some of the considerations you would have regardless of what the specifics are about what would be either acceptable or unacceptable for the GSA. And obviously these looking at big picture items, cost effectiveness, you know, can it be measured? Is this going to be something that we're actually going to be able to hang our hat on and account for in our performance reviews? Are they going to adjust measurable objectives in a management area? Do we tie those directly? There may be multi-beneficial projects that we may find it advantageous. Let's say if there's a means of getting water, let's say in Dew Creek, to advance stream flow for fish, but it also helps GDEs and interconnected streams, that would be multi-beneficial, and public acceptance. Again, and public benefit. These are projects that are going to have to be proposed and fleshed out and supported by the public up through the shack and public workshops. So it's not going to be, you know, developed, promoted, and advanced by staff or the consultants. This is something that the public's going to have to decide what path you want to consider. Next, please. So, and even still, just the types of PMAs, you have conservation, recharge, recycling, pumping allocations, you know, and others. There's a range of other GSPs that have had these kind of aspects, you know, that we can come in. So with that, I'll initially open it up for comments, either on questions about what the requirements are for PMAs is probably first step, and then we can start initially talking about what things people would be interested in for some of the considerations or some of the specific project and management actions, at least conceptually. My thought was, depending upon the discussion today, would create areas that we would go as staff go gather for the next meeting for further discussion. And I also tie in that a lot of these are all tied into concerns over the next agenda item, the implications. And one of the things, the delay of that project, we could consider as part of the discussion here, as part of those considerations, things that you would like to ensure that it is avoided in project and management actions about the types of projects. If it's a recharge project, some of those things that people are concerned with. The VINA GSA board has pretty broad, ample authority that we could, through this discussion, identify those and advance those ordinances or rules up through the VINA GSA board in advance of any project coming through. So with that, I'll open it up for discussion.
Paul, I'm just wondering, because of time and because of the suggestion from Greg and Samantha about wanting to consider providing a recommendation on an extension for the GSPs, you know, we don't, it sounds like an important conversation for the Shack to have regarding the requirements of PMAs, the considerations for conceptual management project actions for further discussion. If right now we see if there are any questions about the requirements and then go to the proposed action, do you think that we would delay the deadline by having the more conceptual discussion at the next SHAC meeting? I'm just concerned that there's not enough time and folks wouldn't be able to have as robust enough conversation that they would like.
You're talking about delaying the process?
No, I'm talking about today. I think it's only possible for us to get questions for clarification about the PMA requirements and then go to the proposal that Greg and Samantha made. And I don't know that we'll then have enough time for a conceptual conversation around considerations, and wonder if that could happen at the next meeting or if that would cause any delay that is problematic.
Yeah. We could do that. I would like to have any initial quick thoughts people had on some of that, but I would also like to move right in then to agenda item 8 as quickly as possible then, because it's related to all this.
Okay. So let's start here with any questions about the requirements related to PMAs. Greg?
Yeah, you know, I was reading this one thing, and it said all the PMAs should be considered and included in the GSP by June of 2021. That's kind of an unrealistic deadline, because we might, you know, in 2 years have a rice variety that's 30 days shorter in maturing. Can save a lot of water. You just don't know what type of projects are out there right now. So I guess, Paul, is this, if you find out that there's something else down the road past 2021, can it be included and brought into this GSP, or is that just a line in the sand and nothing after that?
No, absolutely. And that's the whole purpose of the five-year performance review. It allows you to do, you know, reassess what anything from basin conditions, if land use have changed, if other practices have changed, let's say that reduce water, to take all that into account, or if there are other things. So it does allow you to update what your knowledge is and even what your actions may be. So even though it seems like real short time frame, we are not locked in stone with what we put in. It's our best plan that we can put together at this time with what we know, and then with the commitment that every 5 years we're going to be updating it with additional knowledge and information and making adjustments, still with the goal of achieving the sustainability criteria that we set up.
Okay, yeah, I just don't want something just be, okay, nothing passes date, so. All right, thank you.
Really important clarification. Thanks, Greg. Other questions for Paul about requirements of the PMA, or some initial thoughts or that you have? George?
This is kind of maybe a little out of left field idea, but I'll throw it out there anyhow. I've heard over the years some frustration from the public when an entity like us picks projects and throws them out there, and then we ask for public input on them. So I'm wondering if there's a early public outreach component maybe we should consider that just throws it out to everybody that we're working on developing these. And if anyone in the public has an idea that they think is something we should pursue, submit it, a submittal process, something like that. At least it kind of gives the public a little more input earlier into the process than just waiting till you get all these projects that people want, and then we ask them what they think of them. Just like the, you know, the rice thing, I'd have never thought of that, and that change in variety may save water. And, you know, if Greg wasn't on the board or we didn't have someone with that expertise, we may not have thought it and pushed through with this process. So just something to consider.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Interesting. Thank you. Other initial thoughts or questions for Paul? Okay, this is going to continue to come before the board. You can always be in touch with Paul, as you all know, if you have some initial ideas, and we would include that correspondence to make sure that all remains transparent. Gary.
Previously, Paul mentioned about measurable results and so forth in these projects. So I'm just curious as to can we come up with ideas that are general without particularly measurable results, but will be improvements in terms of exact measurements, such as recovery of gray water or use of gray water and those kinds of things. It seems like we need to have a little bit more exact, if we're going to do measurable results, more exact information on what our aquifers and the overall trend in the Vina area is right now and so forth before we can make very many reasonable type of decisions on what we might propose.
Yeah, so I think that that's an excellent idea, Gary, about, you know, if discussions of the shack, you want us to go explore like what the ordinances are at the county or the city on gray water and land use, we can go gather that, bring it back on the current status. And if there's potential actions, that's something we can engage in a dialogue with the those agencies about changing ordinances. If it's a, you know, Chico's wastewater plant, there was discussions early on about, you know, if that could have some recycling component, that could, we could engage a discussion with the city. You know, some of these may get incorporated in that, again, it may not be ready in 2022, but it might kick in projected, let's say in 2025 or 2030 over time. Same with conservation, if it's ag or urban, there might be discussions about some of the conservation programs and some estimates about what reductions they could bring, and you can account for them. And again, every 5 years, you assess kind of where you're at and make adjustments along those lines. So that's where I'd like to, you know, as we get to the next meeting, bring in, well, I will bring in some more detailed other concepts, and then we can have some discussions on directions from the shack. Tanya, you're muted.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and, okay, Cherie, let's have this be the last comment here, realizing that what Paul said, that more conceptual, more detailed concepts will be brought forward to the shack for further discussion at the next meeting. Cherie?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of reinforce, I think it was George who was talking about soliciting public comment prior to putting ideas in front of them. And I think if there were some sort of online submission, you know, that folks could contribute ideas or thoughts to with parameters built around it, then all of us as SHAC members can go back to our constituents that we're working with and solicit that feedback and ideas prior. The City of Chico, we're in the process of doing that right now with the Climate Action Commission, and it's going really well to help preface some of those draft recommendations that we're making. So, you know, I think that's a function that us as SHAC members can serve, is to help get that out to the public ahead of the plan being put in front of people. That was it.
Sherry, are you suggesting we issue sort of a public notice soliciting ideas, you know, describing what this is about, soliciting ideas? We would gather that and then bring that to the next SHAC meeting or future SHAC meeting? Is that how that works?
Yeah. And I think, you know, really just the crux of George's point is, you know, and I hear from a lot of people that it's frustrating when here's our recommendations, what do you think, rather than what ideas do you have that we can work into recommendations.
Great. No, yeah. We'll take that on and do that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheree and George. All right, let us go to the recommendation, because the suggested action under this agenda item is to provide input to the Vina GSA Management Committee. And George and Samantha suggested that we take up this recommendation to the Vina GSA Board to request an extension to DWR for a GSP extension to DWR. I'd like to open that up for discussion, that proposal up for discussion. SHAC members. Greg?
Yes, not only to DWR, but I think the letter should be sent to the legislators and the governor also. Because DWR could just brush it under the carpet if they wanted. But I think that the legislators and the governor also know what they're running into with other things because of this COVID. So I think it should be sent to more than just DWR, the request.
Thank you. And that was the initial request. And it is a statutory deadline. So you're right in suggesting that it would need to go to the legislature as well. Thank you. Let me, I see your hand is up, Deborah, but let me go to other SHAC members first, and then I'll come to you. Other SHAC members, any your thoughts on this recommendation? Samantha and then Anne.
Yeah, I think a good example here is the GSA board requesting the more knowledge of the legal implications of out-of-basin transfers and recharge, and that occurring back in October 2019. And right now we're sitting August 2020, and there's been some progress made on the document, but we're nowhere near even step phase two of it. So that's just an example of how COVID has really slowed things up and why we need to talk about the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing in a concrete example of the implications, Samantha. And Anne, your thoughts?
I suppose I don't really see that that COVID has slowed things down for us. I don't think we'll be successful, and I'm sure we'll always find some reason that we can't, you know, that we want an extension. I would say, why don't we just continue, and if we really get into trouble, then try petitioning then. But in the meantime, I don't see why we couldn't schedule an extra meeting or two to catch up. So I don't really see the need for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you for sharing that. Greg?
Well, we're charged also with getting public, not just us going to a Zoom meeting. We're charged with getting public input and giving the public time to look at things, which you can't do right now the way we're meeting. So I think we have to have time, because we're not going to be able to get public input on a lot of the stuff we're supposed to decide and rule on. So it's not just the us meeting, it's me having the chance to meet with the public and have the public input is what one of the things that's been affected.
Thanks for your clarification there, Greg. I'm interested in what other SHAC members think about this. Any other thoughts, SHAC members? Jim? And then George, Jim?
I'm really impressed with Greg's wisdom on this. I appreciate his recognizing how important public input is, and the public GSA meetings, the board meetings are gonna be critical in having this thing be accepted by the public. So I think that's good. I think Greg is very wise in suggesting that. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, thank you for affirming that, Jim. And George?
Yep, I just concur. I think Greg's thought process about public input, I mean, it's kind of built into the law that we get this public input. So how can we do that in the current state effectively? So there should be some recognition and acknowledgement in these deadlines.
Okay, George. And then I'd like to hear from any others who have a differing view and who'd like to bring that, other SHAC members who may have a differing view and who may, like Anne, for example, what she's expressed. Okay, Deborah, I'm gonna go to the public for, non-SHAC members for your input. Deborah, your thoughts.
I was just going to say, I thought what George and Greg brought up is indeed a wise decision. And I was thinking to go one step further and not just a letter to the legislature, but also to the Board of Supervisors, perhaps, because I think they should be made aware of what's happening as well.
Thank you for that suggestion. Paul, I see you've gone off mute.
Yeah, and I think too, anticipating support from the Shack on getting a letter to the Vina GSA board. It's not just COVID we will reference. You know, since the enactment of SGMA, we've had the Oroville Dam crisis, we've had the Camp Fire, you know, we have our current crisis. So, you know, in particular, the county's had its challenges that have really, you know, redirected a lot of the staff and stakeholder time. So I think we have a pretty strong case to make. And Supervisor Lucero had a good point for the board. I think we'll also agendize the same topic for the Water Commission to report up to the board for recommendation. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and so what I'm gathering here is, because we discussed this before the break, that we've received input, the management committee has received input from the Shack regarding the desire to ask for an extension. Would the Shack like for us to take a vote on this motion? Okay, I'm seeing that Greg is suggesting that we do take a vote, and as well as Jim. I think we will do that. We will call for a vote, and then we will, if we don't reach consensus, we'll document it as we said that we would, what the votes are, and the management committee will be able to take that information to the Vina GSA board. Okay, so let me call for you to use your yes and no cues regarding the Shack. Would the Shack like to request of the Vina GSA board to send a letter to the state, including DWR and the governor and the legislature. So let's just say the state officials requesting an extension for GSP completion.
And also, Tanya, like Deborah said, to the Board of Supervisors and maybe the Water Commission.
Okay, and others locally, officials locally. I'm sorry, Bruce, did you have your hand up?
I just wanted to add what Greg just added.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Jim, just want to make sure that I'm checking in with everyone. Jim, do you support that? Oh yes, I see you now. Sorry. Okay, so it appears from all of the Shack members that they support that recommendation being carried forward. Any questions from the management committee for clarification, since this is input to the management committee?
Nope, very clear. We got it and we'll be moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jim, and thanks to all. Okay, we need to spend a little bit of time on this next item because I realize that it's of real interest, the identifying and managing the legal implications of artificial recharge. So I'm going to turn it over to Paul to not waste any additional time. Please note here that the suggested action is to share perspectives on comments received. We sent out the original letter, the version of the document from February 25th, and then we also provided comments that we received thus far and the comments from Jim Brobeck on the document. So, Paul?
So, yeah, because of the concerns about out-of-basin transfer and then subsequent discussions with the Shack, there was concerns about other implications of artificial recharge that we needed to explore before you know, any decisions could be made. So we had put together this process that we would have a more fleshed out legal description of the types of issues, some of the legal background, with in a collaborative way with other water attorneys to flesh out with some outcoming recommendations. So frankly, budget-wise, and it's a largely COVID-driven kind of delayed that larger project action. I'm hoping in the fall, once budget picture gets a little clearer, we can get that back on track and get it going, because I think it would be a very good product. Again, it's a product that I think it only been done maybe in a couple other places, not typically done, but I think for us, it's going to be very important. Another consideration is, you know, as we wait to hopefully kick that back off in October, November, discussion came up during the Vina GSA board, you know, and Valerie brought up too, there were things that we can have discussions up through this PMA discussion about specific implications that people are worried about, whether it's ownership of recharge, use of recharge other than benefiting the GSP or sustainability criteria, or moving water outside the county or down the line, that we can identify through our own discussions and use and start crafting rules for the Vina GSA board to consider, immediately. So there's two paths we can go down, and I think we can incorporate this topic as we start talking about concepts in terms of, let's say, recharge or recycling or other things. If there's legal implications that are concerning, we can have those evaluated and take preventative measures by the Vina GSA board to address those. So I don't know if Valerie's on, if you want to add to that, and I'll open it up for discussions.
Thanks, Paul. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Valerie.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. I think that obviously the practical concerns and the conceptual projects can certainly be talked about. I think that there's a huge amount of work, and frankly, a lot of the 2020 GSAs kind of ran out of time when it came to talk about the project and management actions issues. I certainly think that a wide swath of projects probably needs to be, at least be discussed and considered. And maybe more to Paul's point, you know, if a recharge project or if a water quality project or something, and people think, oh, you know what, we have concerns, even though we don't really 100% know the legal implications and that work isn't done. If your concern is, for example, that, you know, there's not enough leave behind, or that a recharge project is done in an area that might move a water quality plume or something like that, certainly those are more technical and project-oriented concerns. And I think those full discussions, I think, can be had before you tee up the answers. So I certainly think the answers are the legal answers, or the legal rules, I suppose, not answers, but the legal rules that will guide those projects and what you can do to ensure that if any project is brought on, that the GSP understands how it's going to impact the basin and sustainability of the basin. You know, I think that there's a huge amount of discussion you can have about projects and your concerns with those projects before you get all of those answers. So that's just my kind of two cents. I'm happy to take any questions. Obviously, a lot of people are doing this for the first time, and the exact order of everything probably isn't going to be perfect, but certainly there's a lot of work to be done that doesn't need to wait completely before the legal rules part of the project is completed.
Thank you, Valerie. I think that, and Paul, that's very helpful. And it's also helpful to have you here for SHAC members to be able to have this discussion with you. So just opening it up to the SHAC to have this discussion or ask questions of Valerie. Greg?
Yeah, I guess one of the big things on, you know, implications of artificial recharge, which people have brought up, is the fact that it could affect the overlying groundwater users' water rights when it comes to a year short on water. The person that was doing the project, let's just say, for example, California Water, gets some water down from Paradise, goes off groundwater. So they're saving that groundwater. Well, I don't think they should be able to bank that water. And that's one of the things that happened down south, is they were able to come back and tell all their neighbors, hey, shut your pumps off in a drought here because we're the ones that saved the water. And I think that's what we're all afraid of up in this area, is people being able to have rights to that water, and that would be a greater right than the overlying groundwater user. So I just think we need a way, find a way to protect that. Maybe something like we have with Chapter 33 in the very beginning, that no water project is going to increase a person's rights to the groundwater above the overlying groundwater users.
Thank you, Greg. Jim?
I appreciate Valerie's discussion that there are technical issues that need to be discussed either before or in conjunction with the legal issues. The efficacy of groundwater recharge projects needs to be considered, and we're not going to be able to do that unless we can really know how the interbasin flows happen. That's one critical thing. Another thing that I think is really important to put in perspective is the long-term intention of the Department of Water Resources and the Bureau of Reclamation to integrate the Tuscan aquifer system into the state water supply through conjunctive use. Back in 2007, they funded a study by the Natural Heritage Institute in which they said that the Tuscan formation, if integrated into the California water supply, could provide major water supply reliability benefits. But it'll take decades before we enough about aquifer dynamics to devise a risk-free regime. But it would be foolish to require that the aquifer remain an underperforming asset in the interim. Fortunately, there's an approach that can permit more aggressive use of the Tuscan formation while we improve our understanding by providing groundwater users with a risk-free water supply alternative in the form of supplemental surface water supplies. So I just want to make sure that that the VINA GSA doesn't implement these long-term plans of the Bureau and of Department of Water Resources, and that would attempt to reduce risk to users when people outside of the VINA GSA may be implementing more aggressive use of the Tuscan aquifer in order to provide water supply to the rest of the state through groundwater substitution transfers. And that's why I keep bringing up, it's important for us to understand the efficacy of projects on this side of the river when we haven't really identified the groundwater flow patterns, either the vertical ones or the interbasin flows. I think it's really an important technical part of the discussion that needs to be considered alongside the legal implications. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, further discussion on this topic and or questions from Valerie, since she's with us today.
This is Valerie. Both of those comments to me just bring up, first of all, it's such interesting, I guess it's kind of nerdy, but it's such interesting facts, and especially what Jim just said about how water flows and migrates. I mean, those are the facts that you put into the legal rules to kind of decide things. For example, if you did a recharge project in an area where you have water that really leaves the area quickly or over time almost completely dissipates, you know, you might want to say, yeah, a recharge project can be done there, but you know, it can, the recharge can only last so long, or you might have a huge leave behind ordinance considered by the GSP. And that is really marrying kind of the technical with the legal, which is, if you bank water or if you store water for taking out later for beneficial use, if it's not there later physically, then the law really has to kind of match up with those technical components. It doesn't do anyone any good to have a recharge project where you recharge water, it leaves the area, and then you're still allowed from an accounting perspective to remove it and thereby, you know, overdraft the system. So it's that is such a great example of how the legal rules have to really have a great understanding of the local technical facts. And they're going to inform each other and probably go back and forth. I think that a lot of GSAs haven't done a lot of dynamic thinking about restrictions they can put on projects to make them benefit and get to sustainability. I don't think it does anyone any good to just say we're not looking at projects because we're scared of an outcome. I think we can all think about the legal rules and think about protecting what we want kind of the outcome to be and do a project that might have benefit but limit it. You know, maybe limit the leave behind, limit the area that you do it in, and a lot of those things. But again, it is really the technical detail that you'll have to know that's going to inform what kind of limitations you put on projects, if any.
Thank you, Valerie. And Christina or Paul, I saw that you went off mute. Did you have anything to add?
No, not at this point. Sorry.
Okay. And Deborah.
Okay, sorry about that. I just was wondering, I was going to ask Valerie if there is decisive law on taking water from one basin and transferring it to another, or taking it from one watershed and putting it into another watershed, as with surface water. Have those laws or been challenged in SGMA yet?
Sorry, I'm getting off mute. It took longer than I thought. That's called imported water, and imported water has a different characterization than native or common groundwater supply. So there is a common law body of water law that exists, and it certainly treats imported water much differently than it treats native common groundwater. So again, you really have to have kind of a fact scenario to apply the rules to. But if your fact scenario was that you're importing water and banking it, or importing water and storing it, that is not common supply. And you would have an ownership right to that unless otherwise limited by the GSP or some other ordinance.
Thank you for the question and the clarification, Deborah. Okay, so before we leave this, are there any final comments about next steps related to this topic?
Yeah, this is Paul, and I'd make a suggestion to see the view of the shack. As we're waiting to do the larger project, would people like us to incorporate, as we talk about concepts of different types of projects or management actions, include some of the legal issues? You know, people brought up different things about groundwater rights or ownership of recharge over time and repurposing that as part of the PMA discussion. So as we talk about some of these projects, if there's obvious things that would make sense for the GSA to limit, we could start fleshing those out as part of this effort.
Yes, let's hear it. Please use your yes and no on that. What Paul's question. Would you like to see the legal implications raised during the PMA discussions? SHAC members, if you could just go ahead and use those cues. Okay, thank you. I think, yes, I see all SHAC members. Thank you. Okay, so that is a good direction. Paul, do you need any further clarification?
Nope, thank you.
Okay, thank you all. I'll just note here in the, we are at noon. Is it acceptable for us to extend the meeting by a few minutes to address some wrap-up items? Is there anyone? Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. If members of the public need to leave, our apologies for not ending on time, as we do attempt to honor time. But let's just take on a couple of things. I would like to, in looking at the next steps on the agenda, I would say that the meeting schedule for the topical framework, we'll be able to detail that out more. You can see it on the third page of the agenda. Unless there are questions about that schedule at this time, I would say it doesn't require any further time. You'll see it every time, and we'll clean it up as we go along. I would like to then move to any suggestions for future agenda topics that the SHAC members would like to raise here. Before doing a quick sort of debrief of the online meeting experience and future arrangements. So future agenda topics, SHAC members. Jim?
I think we really need to identify the more critical data gaps. Bruce brought up the groundwater dependent ecosystems. I'm part of a committee that's trying to look into that. And so hopefully that committee will move ahead to identify and figure out a monitoring protocol for groundwater dependent ecosystems. But the interbasin flow, as well as the vertical flow patterns and the groundwater, are two areas of a very high concern as we move forward with possible management actions. And I think we have some pretty significant data gaps in those before we can really suggest certain management actions. So if we could have some of our experts identify some of these data gaps, and the ones that concern me again are interbasin flows and vertical flow, both up and down of groundwater.
Thank you, Jim.
Tanya, can I just mention something here?
Yes, Christina.
One of the deliverables from the basin setting project is an evaluation, and it should be a kind of a standalone tech memo from the other documents you've seen. It is an evaluation of data needs and data gaps, and there will be more to add, but once we get that might be a good way to have this conversation. We could include that for, obviously it'll be available for review, and then it might be a good jumping off point for conversation.
And Christina, just for clarification and so that we can have shared expectations here, what do you think might be the timing of that?
We are still trying to nail that down, so I don't have a firm answer for that, but in the next month, I would say is pretty safe.
Okay, so if for the next meeting, it may be, it's possible it could be agendized or it could be an update, depending. So within the next month.
Yeah, and it might be a good one to couple with basin setting review comments and discussion. That might be too much to bite off and chew, I'm not sure, but maybe even just for background. So yeah, we can revisit that when I know better what the timeline is.
Okay, very good. Any follow-up there, Jim? Okay, so any follow-up?
No, I appreciate Christina clarifying the timeline and how we're going to deal with that stuff. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you. And any other agenda topics that you SHAC members would like to raise right now? And then thank you very much. Let's talk about very quickly anything you want to say about the online meeting experience, and if there's anything you want to discuss about potential future meeting arrangements that would be consistent with local and state COVID-19 guidelines. So essentially the question is, is this going okay? Realizing that it's not ideal, do we continue in this format, or do you feel like anyone would like to raise another possible approach? So Greg, I see that you've said yes, meaning that you support continuing with this approach for the time being. Jim, your hand's raised.
Yeah, I think it's working well with the shack as long as we don't have more meetings canceled. I was really disappointed the July meeting was canceled prior to the board meeting. We had a lot to cover, and I was hoping to be able to provide some more information to the board. And so it's good the shack's doing this, and I'm hoping that the board moves in this direction and gets off that WebEx. I don't like that format.
Okay, thank you, Jim. I see that there's general support, Bruce, Christopher, Greg, to continue with this format. Samantha, is there anyone else who, Sheree, anyone else who would like to bring up other potential arrangements, or we proceed, and if not, then we're just going to proceed as we have been on Zoom. Okay, seeing none. Any comments from the public about the online experience? Please, we'd really like to hear you share any thoughts that you might have about how this is going for you. Deborah?
I just wanted to say that I very much appreciate the way you have run these meetings. It took a while to get them started and everybody kind of learning how it was done, but your sheet that you provided to everyone was very useful. And I just wanted to thank you for the professionalism, and I think it's a good model that could be adopted by a lot of government agencies. So thank you.
Very much appreciate that. Thank you, Deborah. Okay, any final comments from any SHAC members or the management committee before we adjourn? And thank you very much for staying over. Any final comments? Okay, just note here that we will just, as an information item, anytime we receive correspondence, it will be compiled and it will be there, so it is transparent. And so you did receive a compilation of correspondence received. Okay, hearing no other final wrap-ups, we will be in touch and look forward to next month's meeting. We will be in touch with the meeting summary, and we will post the meeting recording. Thank you all very much for your time and for a good meeting today.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thank you.